You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, it's written for you. Believe in His promises, God cannot fail.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
And we all eat from one loaf, showing that we are one body. And think about the nation of Israel. All who eat the sacrifices are united by that act. It is a physical but also a spiritual act that takes place. With Israel, Passover, right? You remember Passover? But now we have the body of Christ. It's so much more powerful than Passover alone, though Passover still practiced. Now we get into the part that's going to make your brain get twisted. Because first of all, in the natural man, we don't like to read about this and think about this and try to figure this out. What am I trying to say? Verse 19. Am I saying that the idols to whom the pagans bring sacrifices are real gods? Remember what this started out by saying? Flee from the worship of idols. A word to the church. Am I saying that idols to whom the pagans bring sacrifices are real gods? And that these sacrifices are of some value? Now, Paul's going to make this real clear. No, not at all. That's clear. He answers, no, no. He's saying, I'm not telling you that these idols and those who worship these idols, that there's anything attached to the idol that you need to be concerned about. Because you're God's children, right? You're God's property. So if the blood on the doorpost protected the whole house, how much more does the blood of Jesus on your life protect you? So what is this in here for? No, not at all. What am I saying? What I am saying is that these sacrifices are offered to demons. So when people would bring a sacrifice, I've traveled other countries, you've probably traveled other countries, you've seen it on TV, they have these shrines set up, people will bring their first fruits. You'll see bananas, you'll see oranges, you will see tomatoes, you'll see watermelons, and you may even see the half of a cow. Where people bring sacrifices and offerings to these shrines. And what the Holy Spirit is saying is, these gods, these idols are not real, but people who are doing it are actually making sacrifices to demons, and they are real. Demons and devils, people make sacrifices, demons and devils. And then it says, not to God. Remember what Jesus said? I am the, help me out, I am the way. Let's say it again. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me, by me, right? So what the Holy Spirit is saying is, when people are making these sacrifices to these idols, they're offering them to demons, not to God. And I don't want any of you to be partners with demons. Huh. Wow. When did you hear a sermon last on that? Is this in the Word of God? It's in the Word of God. We're talking about communion. We're talking about examining ourselves. And then he says, you cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and from the cup of... This is verse 21. You cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and from the cup of demons too. Also, at the same time. In other words, God's not going to receive an offering that is also being made to demons. You can't... Help me out here, Michael. You can't be in the north and the south and be protected. If you're on that fence, you're going to get shot from both sides. Did we start by saying, choose you this day? Yes. Communion's a time to check your choice. Hello? Well, I'm mostly choosing God. You know what God's saying? He's saying, I will not accept the offering of Cain. Stay with me. Well, Cain says, what's wrong with my offering? It's pretty nice. I brought it in. You know, I'm pretty good at what I do. God, you ought to be impressed. I'm doing it my way. Aren't you impressed that I took 30 minutes or 1 hour or 2 hours to go and suffer through that long message and hang out with those people? God, isn't that good enough? No, God said, this isn't about you doing it your way. It's about what is acceptable to me. So you cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and from the cup of demons too. So that's the cup, right? The cup is what? Say the blood. Do any of you know what is part of satanic ritual? What do they do with the blood? They drink the blood. Literally. We are spiritual. So when Fred Ritchie put apple juice in the communion cups because we ran out of grape juice, Fred didn't go to hell for that. He was just trying to cooperate and said, well, if Jesus turned the water into wine, he can turn the apple juice into... People during communion service afterwards, they said, Pastor, that was the strangest taste communion I've ever had in my life. Well, we've had some, I think, that was past its time, but... Yeah, the Satanists, they drink the blood. Why? Because the life is in the blood. That's demonic, right? You cannot eat at the Lord's table, so you cannot drink from the cup of the Lord, nor can you eat at the Lord's table, this is verse 21, and at the table of demons too. In other words, the house of God is not to be a place of idolatry and demonic sacrifice. Verse 22, what? Do you dare to rouse the Lord's jealousy as Israel did? Do you think we're stronger than He is? Now, verse 23 may not fit your theology, so, you know, If not, you can submit your theology or you can look at verse 23. You say, I'm allowed to do anything. Okay, read it from your translation. I don't like that translation. What's your translation say? Verse 23. I have the right to do anything. What? Let's have one at a time. Dylan, nice and loud.
I have the right to do anything. You say that, but not everything is beneficial.
Okay. In other words, I have free will. I have free choice. I can do whatever I want to do. Somebody else, a different translation, if you want to read. Okay, you're quiet. Okay. You say I'm allowed to do anything. How do you know that's where the church is today? Doesn't matter. And people tell me this. Oh, they're not expedient. Now, when you look at what's lawful and what isn't expedient, then you also have to bring it into context. Either we are making an offering to God or else an offering to demons. And Paul is not writing to the first church of the Satanist. It's in my Bible. So he said, I'm allowed to do anything. In other words, God doesn't restrict me and constrain me, force me. I have free will, right? Everything is not expedient. It's not helpful. You say I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Oh, here we come to this body part. Verse 24. Don't think only of your own good. Discerning the body. Don't think only about what's good for you. Do you remember when the Corinthian church came in together in each other's homes and they ate together? They were not waiting on one another. I was at a picnic. It was a church picnic. And I enjoyed it at the time, and I look back and it was a nice thing. But at this picnic, some people brought steaks to grill. Some brought hamburgers. Thank you, Sunshine. I'm just going to call them what they are. They are. They're hot dogs. No tube steak there. It was cheap. I'm not sure what kind of meat. And years later, I'd be reading this and meditating before the Father, and the Holy Spirit would just give me some insight. Because I remember smelling that steak that day. Man, that smelled really good. I was thinking, why don't I have a steak to eat? The guy cooking the steak, you know, he was enjoying cooking the steak. And others were, yeah, let me get into my burger. Let me get into my tube steak. Let me, you know. The guy cooking the steak, he knew what he was doing, boy. He was working on that thing, and I was smelling that thing, and I'm like, I think that must be what was going on at these dinners. They would come together and eat. They would not wait on one another. Some had, they had more than they could ever need, and others didn't have enough. And so some in the body were sensing an inferiority. And their lack was being visibly seen, and it was embarrassing. And then they were not waiting for each other, even with communion. They were just going ahead as they so desired at will. So here's what you should do, verse 25. Well, let me back up. 23. Yes, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is helpful. You say I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial, expedient. Don't think only of your own good, but think of other Christians, what is best for them. And here's what you should do. You may eat any meat that's sold in the marketplace. Don't ask whether or not it was offered to idols, because it doesn't matter. We all know that, right? And then for your conscience won't be bothered, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. But in verse 27, if someone who isn't a Christian asks you home for dinner, go ahead, accept the invitation if you want, eat whatever's offered to you, and don't ask any questions about it. Your conscience should not be bothered by this. And now we come to verse 28. But suppose someone warns you that this meat has been offered to an idol. Now, if they're warning you, it's because they have a conscience that is sensitive to it. So, don't eat it. Out of consideration for who? For God? The Lord already told us it doesn't make any difference to God. It's out of sensitivity to the rest of the body. So, discerning the body of Christ has to do with my witness to you and my preference to your spiritual growth and condition. When I come to communion, it matters to God how I've treated you this past week, and how I've thought about you, how I've referred to you. This is kind of a big deal, right? So, don't eat it out of consideration for the conscience of the one who told you. It might not be a matter of conscience for you, but it is for the other person. Now, why should my freedom be limited by what someone else thinks? If I can thank God for the food and enjoy it, why should I be condemned for eating it? Now we come to verse 31. And I used to hear people quote this a lot. I haven't heard it quoted as much. But whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You must do all for the glory of God. So this is what we're to be examining before we receive communion. We're to be allowing the Holy Spirit to check our relationship with God first, and then in reference to our relationships with our brothers and our sisters, and asking, is everything that I'm doing for the glory of God? Verse 31, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, you must do all for the glory of God. Don't give offense to Jews or Gentiles or the church of God. That is the plan I follow too. I try to please everyone in everything I do. I don't just do what I like or what is best for me, but what is best for them so they may be saved. So, you go, Say, well, that's not so bad. You know, I'm doing pretty good with my brothers and sisters, so hallelujah, I can have communion today. That's a good thing. And I would say, man, you can pass the test there. You're being sensitive. No one's asked you to eat meat offered to an idol this past week, so maybe you're okay. But this goes way beyond it. It deals with our relationships and keeping our relationships clean before God. That includes your relationship with your husband or your wife, and your children, and your brothers and sisters in your family, and other believers that don't smell like you smell or act like you act. But now I want to go to the beginning of chapter 10, because it's all part of this chapter. Because this whole thing of worshiping God and making a sacrifice to God and not to idols, the first part of the chapter also ties into the context. Verse 1, I don't want you to forget. Don't forget. Say, don't forget. Dear brothers and sisters, what happened to our ancestors in the wilderness long ago? You remember that, right? God guided them all, sending a cloud that moved ahead of them. He brought them all safely through the waters on the sea and dry ground. As followers of Moses, they were all baptized in the cloud and the sea. They all went through the water. They all received. All of them experienced them. All of them ate the same food. And all of them drank the same miraculous water. So this is talking about the working of God is what you're eating and drinking. It's going to tie into the whole thing with communion too. It's just the preface. We got the ending. Now we're going to look at the preface. All of them ate and drank the same thing. Remember, we were just reading one body, one bread, right? One loaf, one cup. For they all drank from the miraculous rock that traveled with them, and that rock was... Who was with Israel in the wilderness? Christ was there with them, yes. And they're drinking from the water that He's giving. You remember the water? It's coming out of the rock. God is providing. And Jesus is there. It's long before communion as we see it today. But Jesus is there. He's the rock. And these events happened as a warning to us. Oh, that sort of ties in with something we saw earlier. A warning to us so that we would not crave what kind of things? Evil things. As they did. Remember the evil things they craved? They wanted a god. They wanted an idol. Remember that? They wanted something they could worship. Do you remember they wanted to go back to Egypt? Remember, they wanted to kill Moses and raise up another leader that would take them backwards instead of forward. And they were willing to give up their promised land for the garlic and the onions and the turkey. I'm picking on Josh because he was turkey hunting. He left the turkeys out there. That you not crave the evil things. Why were they evil? They weren't evil in and of themselves. They were evil because the people chose, they desired to pamper their flesh and to be fleshly and sensual rather than being God-focused and faith-filled and following God's plan. As they did, or worship idols, as some of them did. For the Scripture says the people celebrated with feasting and drinking. They indulged themselves in pagan revelry. And we must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Nor should we put Christ to the test as some of them did and then died from snake bites. And don't grumble too? You mean all of this has to do with communion? You mean I shouldn't be practicing sin and rebellion against God if I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to examine my heart? Do I have a heart like Israel, or do I have a heart that's focused on God? Do I have a heart that is sensual? Do I have a heart that is focused on diet and menus and those good old days back there, partying in the world? And we must not engage in these things, nor put Christ to the test. And don't grumble. So number one, don't crave evil things. Number two, don't worship idols. Number three, keep yourself clean sexually. Number four, are you all still? It's quiet in here. I feel like I'm in a Presbyterian church. Number four, do not put Christ to the test. Number five, do not grumble. For that is why God sent his angel of death. Remember, choose life. Choose life. Remember that? Choose life. Even though he brought them out of Egypt, they kept choosing death. And so the angel of death, many of them died. All these events happened to them. Verse 11, I want you to look at verse 11 in your Bible. Or on your iPad or in your phone. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. All of these events happened to them as what? Examples for us. What are we to learn from the example? We're to learn what not to do. And we're to learn what we should do. All of these events happen to them as examples. They're recorded. They come to us as examples. They were written down to warn us who live at the time of the... Now somebody should be saying, glory, Jesus is coming! And communion celebrates His return. And communion celebrates His return for a cleansed church. They are written down to warn us who live at the time when this age is drawing to a close. If you think you are standing strong, be careful, for you too may fall into the same sin, temptations. But remember that the temptations that come into your life are no different from what others have experienced. And you've got to get this because we're going to have to close. I thought I was going to get to this message today. I got the introduction. Listen to this. Listen to this. And God is faithful. Aren't you glad God is faithful? None of us are always faithful, okay? But God is always faithful. God is always faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you cannot stand up against it. When you are tempted, He will show you the way out so that you will not give in to it. You remember where we started here? Verse 14. So, my dear friends, flee the worship of idols. Flee the worship of idols.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Nothing is impossible.